Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
I want to introduce you to a very prejudiced man named Peter. And yet God changed him, and he became a Christ-like includer, not an excluder. And that's my goal. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be his includer. I think sometimes when we think about prejudice, we need to go back to the baseline of what that is. Prejudice is simply prejudging people. Prejudice is when we judge a book by its cover. Prejudice is when we look at the exterior of a person and judge them by their skin color, by their background, by their size, by their shape, of where they went to school, what they have or don't have. We tend to operate on this fashion as human beings. Have you ever done this? We tend to see somebody who's different than ourselves, and because of our insecurity, our judgmentalism, we'll pull out our magnifying glass. And we'll look at them through the lens of the magnifying glass, and we will magnify their faults and our differences. That can oftentimes happen, and simultaneously we look at ourselves through rose-colored glasses. We somehow forget that we have some of those same shortcomings. It reminds me of a lady I heard about. This lady was trying to find a new dentist over in Atlanta, and she walks up to this dental office, and she sees the name on the sign, and she says, "Oh my goodness, that is the name of a young man I dated 35 years ago in Cincinnati, Ohio." So she was curious and walked in and sat down in the chair, and sure enough, here comes the dentist into the office there. And she's, in her imagination, seeing this guy as he was 35 years ago, and she's thinking he's going to be slim and tall and straight and head full of black hair, and who walks in but this fella who is wrinkled and overweight, and he's bald, and he's wearing glasses, and he comes in, and she looks at him and says, "Hey, I went to high school in Cincinnati, Sycamore High School. Did you go there by any chance?" He said, "I certainly did." She looked at this guy and says, "I think you were in my class." The dentist looks at her for a moment and said, "What did you teach?" Well, sometimes we see ourselves differently than how others see us, don't we? And my friend, this is exactly what has happened in Acts chapter 10. And that's what prejudice is all about. It's seeing ourselves not through the magnifying glass of someone else's differences or their insufficiencies, and seeing ourselves through rose-colored lenses, but I want us to see everybody through Jesus' glasses. So to make this message personal, would you make this note? Do you tend to include or exclude? Are you God's includer or an excluder? If you're an includer, that means that you have an open heart to all people. You have an open hand that welcomes people. You pull people in. You connect. You make bridges of relationships. But an excluder, in contrast, doesn't make a bridge. They make a barrier. They make a wall. They tend to grade and measure people by their skin color, their educational level, where they went to school, the clothing that they wear, the bling that they fling. We tend to grade and judge people as greater than, equal to, or less than. The Bible says that there's a better way. There's the Jesus way, because when we judge people by the exteriors, not only does it sting them, but eventually that will hurt you, because you are cutting yourself off from people who are different and can improve you. I heard a friend say it like this: if everybody in your small circle is just like you, you need a bigger circle. You need a bigger circle, and God can help you draw that today. In the same way, the Lord had an appointment for Peter, and he had an appointment for Cornelius. I believe God has an appointment for me and you today. I believe he's got a special word that he wants to share that can make you look more and more like Jesus, the great includer. Well, that's the goal, for us to look like Jesus. He included people like the woman at the well, like Zacchaeus, like Nicodemus. He included children and government leaders. He included everyone. And so he is our model. And frankly, I'll just tell you the bottom line. That's my goal, is to be an includer. And I believe that's the culture that we have at this church. I believe that God has given us a culture of inclusion where everybody counts and everybody is welcome. Well, let's dig down deep into this scripture that is one of the most important scriptures in the entire Bible. In Acts chapter 10, this is called the Gentile Pentecost. This is the declaration of God that Jesus is not just for the Jewish people. Jesus is for everyone because everybody matters to God. So come with me to Acts chapter 10. It says in verse 1, we'll not read the whole scripture from verse 1 to 8, but let me tell you the essence of the story. There was a man named Cornelius. He was a wealthy, sophisticated man. He was a Roman government soldier, and he had a lot of people that reported to him, and he had everything right on the outside, but on the inside, there was something missing. He was missing Jesus. He was a God seeker, and God appeared to him in a vision and told him that there was a man by the name of Simon Peter who would preach the gospel to him. So quickly, Cornelius dispatched three trusted servants to this place called Joppa. And he said, if you'll go there, you'll find a man named Simon Peter. He's a Jesus man, and he will come with you. So God is meeting on parallel tracks. He's meeting with Cornelius. And now let's pick up the story as he meets with Peter. Verse 9. On the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city of Joppa, Peter went up to the housetop to pray the sixth hour. He became hungry, and he was desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. And he beheld the sky open and a certain object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by the four corners to the ground. There were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. A voice said to him, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean." Again, the voice came to him a second time, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." This happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. Now, while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might mean, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate. And calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who is also called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Arise, go downstairs, and go with them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself." So Peter went down to the men, and he said, "Behold, I am the one you're looking for. What is the reason which you have come?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you." Let's pray. Father, that's what we want to do. We want to hear a message from you right here and right now. And where you find barriers, I pray that you would pulverize them with the power of the cross and create bridges. When you find an excluder, Father, today, by your grace and compelling power, I pray that you would make includers, people that look like you. Get me out of the way, Lord, so that your Spirit can deposit your transforming truth into every receptive heart. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's plunge into these truths. I see three main ones. Number one, Peter's obstruction. Peter's obstruction. We're introduced to it here in the sense of who Peter was. Peter was Jewish. And somehow deep in his spirit had been injected this sense of exclusivism, the poison of prejudice. That's who he was as a Jew. Now, let me pick up the story on where he was. Peter was in Joppa. It's on the coast. You can go there today. That's a real place, and you can go to the beautiful city of Joppa. I've actually stayed there. And he had gone to the house of a fellow believer named Simon the Tanner. Now, think just for a moment. What does a tanner do? A tanner takes dead animals, skins off their hides, and then prepares them to make them into leather. That was his job. I could not think in an unrefrigerated world how smelly his house must have been. You know, just to step into the scripture and be practical. I mean, one time my niece tried to tan a deer hide, and it was the stinkiest thing I can ever imagine. Just rotting flesh, and it was horrible. So no wonder Peter went up on the roof. It was an ocean breeze he needed. Kind of remind me of the fellow who told me one time, and he said, I'm on a special diet, Jay. I said, what kind of diet? He said, it's a garlic diet. I said, a garlic diet? Are you losing any weight? He said, no, I just look smaller from a distance. And here is Peter. Man, he just can't stand the stink. And so he's gone up on the top of the roof so he can get some fresh air. And in the middle of that, he falls into a trance. And God's Spirit starts to speak to him. And he speaks to him in a vision. The sheet comes down, and all these non-kosher animals are in it. You see, the Jews believed, and certainly there were health reasons attached to it, that they should have a kosher diet. There were certain things they should not eat that differentiated them. They didn't eat, for instance, shrimp. They didn't eat catfish. They didn't eat bacon and pork meat. Man, they couldn't have been in the South, could they? I don't think so. I mean, those are the main staples around here. So the Jews couldn't eat any of those non-kosher foods. And Peter had never had a pig. Oh, my goodness. He had never had a piece of bacon or pork chops or anything that was a shellfish. That was illegal for him to do. So when this sheet comes down and he sees all these animals that are ceremonially unclean for him, he is pondering, what does this mean? And here's what I want you to make a note of. Please make a note. Here's God's point of the vision. It's not about pigs, but people. You see, the Jews believed that they should be separate. They should be different. And yes, God wants us to be pure, but he does not want us to be disconnected from people that need him. Remember what it says in Genesis chapter 12, when God formed the Jewish nation, when he called out Abraham from the Ur of the Chaldee, and he set him on a path to make a new people that would produce the Messiah. What did God say in Genesis 12, verse 3? He said, Abraham, I will bless you so you can bless the nations. That's how it's always been. God is an includer. Track the story. Do you remember there was a woman in Jericho named Rahab? Was she Jewish? No. But she believed the promise of God and became part of the people of God. And she and Salmon, she had a son named Boaz. And this Gentile prostitute has a son named Boaz who married a Moabite woman, non-Jew, and her name was Ruth. And they have Obed, who has Jesse, who has David. And this is the lineage of Jesus. Friends, God has always been an includer. But the Jewish people, they confuse their purity with being totally elitist and separate. It was almost as if they took the boards of God's blessing, and instead of making a bridge to other people, they made a barrier, a fence. So this is Peter. He is shielded off from people, and God is getting this message to him, not about pigs, but he is saying, all people matter to me. All people count. That's why Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. You see, this is going to be the Gentile Pentecost. Up until this time, the gospel had only been shared with the Jews. So now Jesus is about to be unleashed on the world. This is one of the most important chapters in all of the Bible. So here is what God's trying to say. I want you to be an includer. All people count. I died for everybody. Now, let me ask you about your own life experiences. Are you an includer? Do you have a propensity to judge books by their cover, to prejudge people, to write them off because they're different? Do you magnify those differences because of your own insecurities? Let me help you out a little bit. That was my story. As I was growing up in Central Texas, my family was very prejudiced. They were prone to prejudging people by their exteriors. I particularly went to school with a lot of Hispanic kids. There was one young man named Robert Medrano. We were in school all 12 years together. Is anybody here kin to Robert by any chance before I keep going? I mean, we were always battling. He was just my nemesis, and I gave him a hard time. I mean, here's how sad it was. When we were in fourth grade, in my elementary school, there was a railroad track that ran alongside the school. And there were a lot of people who lived on the other side of the track, and it was called Little San Jose. In Georgetown, Texas, there was this barrio. And the kids, the Hispanic kids, would leave school and they would walk across the railroad tracks. And sometimes we would get in fights. And this is literally, pathetically true. But there was so much hate in my heart and in their hearts. We would have remember the Alamo rock fights at the railroad track. We would gather and curse each other and throw rocks at each other and try to hurt each other. You see, that's endemic of the human heart. That's how we're all wired. There's an insecurity in us. There's an elitism in us that makes us build barriers instead of bridges. And Jesus came to crush those barriers. As a matter of fact, that's what Jesus did. Look on your worksheet to Ephesians 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you once who were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. His cross is a sledgehammer, and he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. He has crushed, he's pulverized prejudice and those barriers to build bridges of inclusion. And that's what he's trying to convey to Peter. Scripture says in Romans chapter 15, verse 7, this great truth, we are to accept one another as Christ has accepted us. Well, when I became a follower of Jesus, everything changed. My vocabulary changed. My view of myself changed. My values, how I saw other people, changed. And Robert Medrano became a buddy eventually. He actually became my brother in Christ. So I'm here to tell you that you have the capacity to change. And the reason that I changed is because God turned his word into a carving knife and he removed prejudice from my spirit because I read 1 John chapter 4, actually. In 1 John chapter 4, I was confronted with the truth of God. And it said, if you love God whom you have not seen and simultaneously hate your brother that you see every day, you are a liar. And I did not want to be a liar. I wanted to have a life that was consistently connected to Christ, and my life changed. I decided one day, as an act of my will, I'm a colorblind person. I want to be like it was said when David looked to the Lord, that God did not see the exterior, but he just saw his heart. So let's come now and see the second great truth here, from Peter's obstruction to Cornelius's conversion. Cornelius's conversion. This is a key moment, a critical moment. You see, on this parallel track, when God is speaking to Peter, he is also knocking on the heart of Cornelius. This man was wealthy, sophisticated, well-educated. He was a leader. He was a soldier. He had everything on the outside, but there was a hole in his soul. Something was missing. He was a God-seeker. So God spoke to his heart, and he said, Cornelius, you need to be changed. You need to be converted. And he gave him instructions about how to get Simon Peter to come. Well, Simon Peter had this dream, and the dream became a deed. This information became implementation, and Simon goes, and the scripture declares in verse 43 and 44 that he preaches Jesus just like he did in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit of God comes rushing in. All these people are saved, and then they're baptized. And this is when the gospel is unleashed on the world. The gospel goes out from Cornelius's house into Macedonia, all the way to Montgomery, all the way to right here to me and you. You see, that's what God is all about. He is all about sharing his good news with the world. This is the Gentile Pentecost. Now, friends, that same Lord, that same Jesus, he is available to anyone here to change their lives in the same way he changed Cornelius. Well, let's get down to the bottom of this and quickly ask this question. Number three, what is your application? How does this message apply to your life? That's always the heart of the scripture. And I want you to understand that my goal is to be a reconciler. And it's based on this scripture. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 and 18. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Friends, that's our job. We are to create a culture of reconciliation in the sphere of our influence. Now, for me, because I have the privilege of being the pastor of this church for the last 26 years, that has been one of my key goals, is to make this church a place of inclusion. And we don't bat 1,000, but I'm telling you, we do pretty good. A lady came to me not long ago, and she said, Jay, I showed up at this church 3 years back, and my life was in shambles. I'd just gone through a wretched divorce that I didn't want. I was financially so beat up after this divorce. I can't tell you how low I was. I was in the wrong job. My life was scraping bottom, and I came into this place feeling unworthy, unloved, and the people of this church embraced me. And I can't tell you how God has rehydrated my life because I now feel part of the body of Christ at First Baptist. I can multiply that story by hundreds and hundreds of people. Now, do we bat 1,000? No. But that is our goal, to create within this beautiful family of faith a culture of inclusion where everybody is counted. Friends, because remember, everybody matters to God. You have never looked into the eyes of somebody that Jesus didn't die for. You've never shaken hands with somebody that God doesn't love. And so that is the core value of our church. We are includers. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 7 that one day in heaven, what's it going to be like? At the great throne room of God, there will be people from every language, tribe, people, and nation. And our church should be a picture of Revelation 7. It should be a miniature photograph of heaven. So that's why this is a place for everybody. Everybody's included. Well, let's be really practical. And let me give you in closing two last thoughts. How do we do that? How do we stop building barriers and build real bridges of connection with people? Well, let me suggest, number one, cords of kindness. Cords of kindness. That's what we need to create. Cords of kindness. Now, it works out like this. The Lord wants us to be people who represent Him well in this world. And we do that as we are worshipers, and we're doing that as we're witnesses. And you are a living illustration of Christ's love and light by the way you conduct yourself. Let me tell you a quick story. One day I was out hospital visiting with my buddy Steve Roberts. And if you don't know Steve, you need to know him. He's a remarkable guy. He was in the grocery store and food business. And many years ago, he felt God call him to become an educator. So he changed his education. And years ago, he became a teacher at Carver High School for one reason, to be the light of Christ at Carver. And Steve's this powerful light. Well, he's a Sunday school teacher here and met his wife here. He's just an awesome guy. And one day we're out on a deacon visitation in the hospital. And so I got to confess, I kind of live in a hurry because I always have more to do than I can get done. So I'm just trooping down the hall and he's kind of trotting behind me. And then at the end of the hall, he said, "Hey, Jake, don't take this wrong. But brother, you need to slow down." I said, "Well, Steve, I'm in a hurry. We got a lot of people to see." He said, "Look, when you walk by people, you're on TV. I can just see it in the eyes of people that you're passing. They know you. You need to slow down. I mean, it could be as simple as just smiling at people. But don't be so focused. See the people around you." And that information stuck to my heart, to slow down. Maybe you need that information. Maybe you live in a hurry. Maybe you're a very type A, task-oriented person, and you need to slow down, and you need to connect to people. You see, it can be as simple. Jesus says, "Is offering a cup of cold water in my name." That's not start a foundation. That's not give up a kidney to somebody. That's just simple stuff. A cup of cold water. That means give somebody a smile. Show that they're worthy of respect. In the mornings, I go to Jeff Davis, and I go walking around the track. It's kind of my routine. I live about two blocks from Jeff Davis High School. And so when I'm coming back, inevitably, there are hundreds of kids coming to class. And so I've done this for the last few years. I just say to everybody, I give them the biggest smile I can. I'll say, "Have a blessed Jesus Day. Have a blessed Jesus Day. Have a blessed Jesus Day." And some of those kids will walk by like, "What's wrong with you, dude?" But you know what a lot of them do? They say, "You too." And then we do high fives. And I mean, we got this connection going on. Now, we couldn't be more disparate. I'm a 63-year-old white pastor. And most of the kids I'm passing, they're not in my class. They're not 63-year-old white pastors. They're teenagers that are black. They're different. But I guarantee you, they were everyone bought by the blood of Jesus. And those kids count. And they need to know that they are loved and cared about. And if one person can put just a seed in their life when they're touched, it'll make a difference. And you can do that too. You can deposit that seed of kindness in somebody's life. So that's number one, cords of kindness and beams of partnership. You see, that's what's special about this church. We are creating beams of partnership with different groups in this church, in this region. Our church is connecting to just two. And let me tell you real quick, two stories. Number one is the partnership we've got with Lanier. And it's all because of Russell McCrory. 3 years ago, Russell heard that the Lanier football team did not have a booster club. So Russell said, I'll be the booster club. He went to Coach Marvin Cunningham, and he said, hey, Coach, before your home games, could we feed you a delicious meal? So different classes like the Martin class, the Wren class, Merrill Ingram, just bunches of people have stepped in, and we've provided over 20 meals over the last 3 years. Well, we did one just Thursday. I asked Russell if he would let it be my turn, and I did Texas barbecue brisket and all the trimmings. Oh, it was good. And so these kids, 80 of them came in. Mary Ruth, she fixed these brownies, and we put a big old dollop of ice cream on top of it. A bunch of our friends, about 20 of us, came to serve them and just make them feel like kings and super important kids because they are. And those kids, did you know, by the way, they're 10-1? They played their playoff game, and they won. It was 21-20. And I believe that brisket made the difference. That's what I believe. It was worth 1 point. And they won. So they're going on, brother, because of our partnership. But do you know what's really amazing? When we shared the gospel and I shared Luke 15, 8 of those young people gave their life to Jesus. Now, that's a real championship play right there. But let me tell you another partnership. It happened just yesterday. You see, these aren't distant things, but it's because of Streeter Wyatt. Streeter Wyatt has connected with Terrence Jones, and we're working with Strong Tower. Matter of fact, that's James Whitehead, and James is right there, and that's Stephen Faulkner. He worked with the waterworks, and he was in there, I think, illegally tapping into the water sources. But anyway, we were power washing, and we needed water. And then we had a bunch of friends from Strong Tower and a bunch of our guys. And what were we doing? We were being a team for Jesus. We were knocking down barriers. We were building bridges of partnership. We weren't just talking about it. We were doing it. Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only that deceives yourself. So we got together, and we're cleaning up that building. It's 2.5 acres. It's 16,000 square feet, and we're going to transform that place so that place can transform people. In the name of Jesus, we're going to transform people. You see, that's what happens when these partnerships are created. That's what the Lord wants us to do. So check your heart. Check your heart. Are you an includer or an excluder? Do you build barriers, or in Jesus' name, build bridges? Let's pray about it. Father, thank you that long ago, you scheduled an appointment between Peter and Cornelius. And Lord, you've scheduled an appointment with us today. And I pray that we would connect to you at the deepest level, and we would connect to each other, setting aside our inherent proclivity for prejudice and writing people off. Because, Lord, you don't write people off, you write them in. I pray that your spirit would be unleashed in this moment and draw us to yourself, and I pray for that in Jesus' name.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.